representing God. And on behalf of God, they were governing the population and ensuring that the people at large were not in any difficulty and that they were following dharma properly. So King Parikshit became so irritated by what he felt was a deliberate neglect that the rishi or the sage was showing. And he felt he was feigning, pretending to be in meditation, whereas actually he was deliberately doing it in order to insult the king. Because the sage might have felt that he was a brahmana, a sage. Why should he stand up to receive a kshatriya who is supposed to be lower than him? So this was going on in Parikshit's mind. Now normally, Parikshit would never have thought like that, because he was a great devotee and he was also extremely cultured. He understood the nuances of Vedic culture and how to offer respect to different types of people. So somehow one can understand that this was by the inspiration of the Lord within, who had something to fulfill through Parikshit's further actions. So the Lord of the heart impelled King Parikshit to pick up a dead snake that was lying around and to place it around the neck of the sage as he sat in meditation. Now, we cannot do something whimsically. We can't do something that is offensive or insulting to somebody else, or which is illegal or immoral or incorrect, and then say, well, the Lord in the heart guided me to do that. After all, I'm a devotee. In Parikshit also, he did something like that. He put a dead snake on the shoulder of the sage. So I'm also a devotee. But yes, we may be devotees, but we are not devotees like King Parikshit. So therefore, we cannot justify our whimsical behavior by saying that the Lord in the heart impelled me or inspired me to do that. No, we will be punished by it, because of such actions. And even King Parikshit, even though he was impelled by the Lord from within to do such a thing, later on, he repented bitterly. He condemned himself. He said, how could I ever do such a thing? He is such a worshipable, respectable sage. I should have sat in front of him and offered obeisances and patiently waited, sitting at his lotus feet, waiting for him to return to external consciousness. Or I should have just quietly drunk water somewhere and gone away. But then Parikshit Maharaj analyzed his own mind and he said, that wasn't me. So this must be by the Lord's arrangement. So the Lord wanted me to do that. This was his thinking much later. In any case, King Parikshit garlanded the sage with his dead snake and walked away in a huff. Meanwhile, the sage had a 12-year-old son whose name was, who knows? Sringi. And in those days, even 12-year-old Brahmin boys were very powerful. Not necessarily physically powerful, but they were powerful with what was called Brahma Tejas. That means the power of austerity, the power of transcendence, the power of the spiritual power. So then he understood by his mystic power, he was playing with his friends near the river, and he understood what had happened. Even though he was at a distance, he couldn't actually see with his physical eyes. But he understood because of Brahma Tejas. And then he was very upset. And he said, how dare the king do such a thing to my father and insult him in this manner? The kings actually survive and they rule the country because of the blessings of sages and brahmanas like us. Now, it was Sringi who started getting proud. It was Sringi who started behaving inappropriately as well. King Parikshit's behavior was inappropriate. But that was for a purpose arranged by the Lord. And Sringi's behavior was also inappropriate. Because he should not have spoken ill about King Parikshit, who was such a great devotee. And also he was a king after all. And actually speaking, Kali Yuga began after the passing away of Krishna from this world. And one of the chief symptoms of the beginning of Kali Yuga is that the Brahmanas fell down. The Brahmanas didn't act as Brahmanas. They strayed from their path. And then a gradual decline began in the Brahminical class of people. The Brahmanas represent the head. The Kshatriyas represent the arms. The Vaishyas represent the belly. The Shudras represent the legs. And all four categories of people are very important in the society. And yet, we know that even though the legs, the hands and so on are very important, the head is especially important. You may have an upset stomach, but you can carry on. You may have a hand that aches, but you can carry on. You can have a leg that is amputated, or even both legs amputated, you can carry on. But if there's something wrong with the head, that's the real difficult thing. So similarly, when something was wrong with the other classes of people, it can be rectified because the Brahmanas are there, the wise people are there in society to set them right. Even when the kings erred, it was the Brahmanas, the wise people, the spiritually realized people who corrected the situation, like in the case of King Vena. They performed an extraordinary act, unprecedented, when they, with their roar, hunkar, they killed the evil King Vena. However, that was very rare. So when the other classes of people err or fall down, they can be corrected by the wise ones. But when the wise ones lose their wisdom, lose their balance, lose their vision, lose their sense of proper behavior, lose their sense of judgment and discretion, then what happens? Then everybody else also starts making mistakes. Everybody else falls down. And everything goes wrong everywhere. When the head goes wrong, then the entire body goes wrong. So similarly, with Sringi began the collapse of the Brahminical civilization, which characterizes Kali Yuga. And when Sringi, in his anger, touched the water of the river, chanted some mantras, and pronounced a deadly curse upon the king. He said, if at all we have done any austerities, I curse this evil king. Of course, Parikshit wasn't evil. But Sringi was also acting like one possessed. He said, I curse this evil king that he will die in 7 days from now. The snake bird, Takshak, will come and bite him. So the boy pronounced the curse and went back to in a hurry to the ashram and was shocked to find actually that the snake was around his father's neck. And the sage was completely unaware. He was absorbed in meditation. He didn't know anything. However, when the sage heard the sound of the boy's wailing, because he was seeing the snake on the neck of his father, and he felt this was such an insult, he couldn't tolerate it. So he started wailing and sobbing. And then that broke the meditation of Shamik Rishi, who woke up to find out, why are you crying? Then he saw the snake on his shoulder and neck, just flung, kept it aside, didn't think twice about it. When Sringi, the young boy, told his father what had happened, as far as the quote-unquote offense of Maharaj Parikshit to the sage was concerned, The sage didn't take it seriously at all, because he understood the glories of Maharaj Parikshit. And when he heard that Shrinki had cursed the king to die in 7 days, Shamik Rishi was very angry. And he said, "Oh, you foolish boy, what have you done? Do you realize the calamity that you have inflicted upon this kingdom and upon the entire earth? The kings like Parikshit are sages, they are Raja Rishis, they are representatives of the Lord on the earth. And here was such an upright king, Dharma Parayana. He was completely following all the rules of Dharma, a glorious devotee of the Lord. And you have dared to curse him like this? Where are you and where is the king?" Alas, alas, so this way Shamik Rishi was bemoaning what had happened. But what could be done? The curse once pronounced could not be taken back. In any case, Shamik Rishi rushed to the court of King Parikshit and informed him of what had happened and begged forgiveness. He was very, very regretful of the whole episode. King Parikshit by this time had also been reflecting on what happened. And as I mentioned earlier, he had been repenting greatly for what he had done. "Oh, how could I do such a thing?" And then he came to the conclusion, something's going to happen now. This can only be the arrangement of the Lord. Something ominous is going to happen. So he was waiting, thinking, what arrangement is the Lord going to do now? What surprise is the Lord going to spring on me now? Something's going to happen. And sure enough, then came along the sage Shamik Rishi. And when Parikshit Maharaj heard that he had been cursed to die in 7 days by Shamik Rishi's son, and the sage himself was so apologetic about it, the king actually pacified the sage. "Don't worry, don't worry. This cannot happen unless it's a desire of the Supreme Lord." And he was completely equipoised. He didn't get angry. "How dare that little boy curse me like this? I'm the emperor of the planet and he's just a 12-year-old boy. Let me curse him back." No, he didn't think like that. He was completely calm and collected as he heard about the curse. And in a very calm way again, he proceeded to wind up his affairs immediately. He called his son, Janamejaya. He installed him on the throne and without further ado left for the forest. He didn't waste time lamenting, grieving, "Oh, what a pity, what a tragedy, I'm so unfortunate. Just see what has happened to me. Just a small mistake and see what a terrible thing has befallen me. A crisis." Generally, when we go through difficulties, there is a tendency that we may succumb to self-pity. You know what self-pity is? Self-pity means, "Oh, poor me." Yes? You go through this sometimes? "Poor me. Why has it happened to me? I'm such a nice person. I'm such a nice devotee. I've not done anything wrong to anyone. So why me? Why me?" But King Parikshit did not succumb to self-pity and lamentation. He said, "Yes, this is the Lord's desire. The Lord wants me to die in 7 days. So be it." And this was the Vedic culture. People were trained from childhood to die in the proper frame of mind. They were trained to face death because they were taught detachment from a young age. They were taught austerities from a young age. So eventually when they grew up to old age, when the time came to renounce the world, they could voluntarily do it easily, without any regrets. And they would walk off into the forest, leaving behind the whole kingdom. This was the Vedic culture. About King Bharat, an astonishing statement is made in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that when he realized it was time for him to go, He walked away from his kingdom, his opulences, his kingly position, just as one walks away after one has performed one's natural functions, one's natural ablutions. One is not at all attached to what one has left behind. So similarly, King Bharat was not at all attached, he just walked away. This was the training that was given to people from childhood, so that eventually when the time came to detach, it would be easy. And then because they had already detached themselves in the mind from this world, when the forceful detachment came from nature in the form of death, then they would be completely fearless and they would not grieve about the whole thing. So King Parikshit also, without any further ado, walked off into the forest and he went to the banks of the Ganga, the holy river. And he was looking for answers. He had only 7 days, not that much time. Meanwhile, word spread like wildfire. WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, emails, everything was buzzing, the cyberspace was buzzing everywhere. King Parikshit cursed to die in 7 days. The king has renounced his kingdom, placed his son Janamejaya on the throne, and is heading for the banks of the Ganga to die, to face his last 7 days, to perform austerities. And since cyberspace was active not just on Earth but also the higher planets, even the residents of the higher planets, the sages from Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, they all came by the celestial skyways. They came here. And people from different parts of the earth also rushed here in their different modes of travel. They didn't have cars in those days, but they didn't need cars. They had better ways to travel. And some came walking. So they all assembled here. A large number of sages gathered at the holy place. And Parikshit Maharaj was there. And he saw all these assembled sages. And now he wanted some enlightenment. And he asked the assembled sages, please tell me, what is the duty of a man who is about to die? What should he hear about? What should he speak about? What should he remember? And who should he worship? Now this one question, what is the duty of a person who is about to die, is the most important question we should be asking ourselves. We shouldn't be thinking, well, I'm not about to die. That's for somebody else. And that was just a lecture anyway. In lectures they say all these things. You keep hearing death and birth and old age, disease, soul. We hear all these things. Life goes on, I'm going to go on living. So we don't take it so seriously. But indeed, that's the most important question we can ask. What is the duty of a man who is about to die? Because every living entity in this world is about to die. It's only a matter of time. Very short time. So King Parikshit asked this question and fell silent, looking at all the assembled sages for an answer. Different sages started giving different answers. One sage said something, another said something else, a third sage said still something else, and King Parikshit wasn't able to understand what the correct answer was. So he was a little confused. What should I be doing? I don't have that much time. And here are these different answers that everybody is giving here, and these are all elevated sages. And just at that time, by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, came this young, effulgent sage, Shukadev Goswami. He didn't come there deliberately, by plan. It wasn't his plan. He was just a wandering mendicant. He used to wander wherever his mind took him. And he was completely dependent on the Lord, and he was a pure devotee, always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddesha vinatishtati brahman sarva bhutanam yantrarudharimayaya. He says the super soul, as Krishna himself, an expansion of Krishna, is the super soul in the heart of all living beings. The super soul in the heart of every living entity is situated in the heart of every living entity and directs the wanderings of all of them. In other words, the wanderings of people are supervised and directed by the Supreme Lord who is seated within the heart. So when two people wandering in different ways happen to meet, then we should know that it is not a chance meeting. Nothing happens by chance in this world. Chance is merely an expression of our ignorance of the cause. So even now that Shukadeva Goswami was walking, he could have been walking in the opposite direction and he would never have known that there was such a big event taking place here, King Parikshit's impending departure from the world. He was in his own internal world of Krishna consciousness. He wasn't aware of who was cursed and so on and so forth. He was just walking on. And he came exactly to the same place where King Parikshit sat with the assembled sages. And because Shukadeva Goswami was an avadhuta, he was followed by all sorts of people who were making fun of him. An avadhuta is a very spiritually advanced person who is so absorbed in his spiritual consciousness that he doesn't care at all for what's happening around him. The avadhuta doesn't care for social norms and customs, social etiquette. So Shukadeva Goswami used to walk around without any clothes because he was least bothered about the body. He was oblivious to the existence of his body. So he was walking around, and to the ignorant eye, it appeared that he was some kind of a madman. And this used to happen many times. There are many instances of personalities like this who wandered in a high state of spiritual consciousness, but they were misunderstood by people. Like Jadabharat, we saw the drama this morning, that people thought Jadabharat to be a fool or a mad person, but actually he was supremely intelligent. He was extremely realized spiritually. So also with Shukadeva Goswami, the children and others thought that he was some kind of a crazy person. So they were making fun of him, throwing stones at him, taunting him. And he was least bothered. He was walking on and on. And as he came to the scene where King Parikshit sat with the sages, these children and other people were following him, laughing, giggling, making rude comments at him. And at this time there was a dramatic entrance that Shukadeva Goswami made on the scene. The moment all the assembled sages saw him, they all stood up in respect. Just imagine the scene. These are all not ordinary people. They are all sages of different types. Except Narad Muni and Vyasadeva. Because they were his guru and his param guru, that means the guru of his guru. So as an etiquette, they didn't get up to welcome Shukadeva. But everybody else rose respectfully. Because just by looking at Shukadeva Goswami, they could understand that here is a self-realized person. This boy, he's only 16 years old, but he's more advanced than us. It takes one to know one. The children and the others couldn't understand Shukadeva Goswami's situation, but the sages understood just by looking at him. And then Shukadeva Goswami was welcomed. Now the children and other foolish people who were following him around and taunting him, they got scared. Oh my God, what have you been doing? This person seems to be a very elevated person and these sages are respecting him, they're standing up to welcome him. So they quickly disappeared from the scene. And then Shukadev Goswami was offered a place, seat of honor. Amongst all the people assembled there, the youngest member was asked to be the speaker. The sages requested Shukadev, please sit here and answer the questions of the sage, or of the king, who has been cursed to die in 7 days. So Shukadev Goswami accepted the request, and as he sat there peacefully, Parikshit approached him, offered his respects, and repeated the question that he had asked the other sages. What is the duty of a person who is about to die? And Shukadev Goswami didn't beat around the bush. He didn't say, well, you know, you could do this, in that circumstance you could do this, maybe it's like that. Have you checked with your doctor, by the way? And what about the lawyer? And what about your bank balances? And so on and so forth. He got straight to the point. And he started, he said, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavya Chekchatatayam. He said, therefore, because the human form of life is so precious and self-realization is the goal, therefore, having received this precious human form of life, you must now hear about, chant about, remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Hari, who is Krishna, if you want to be free from fear. Ichchata abhayam. Ichchata means to desire, abhayam means fearlessness. So anyone who desires fearlessness should think about, speak about, hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as much as possible. Now this was in response to Parikshit's question, what is the duty of a person about to die? And usually when people are confronted with death, they become fearful. So Parikshit, Shukadev Goswami immediately replied, well, since you're at the point of death, probably you're fearful too. Therefore, if you want to be fearless, and if anybody else also who's facing death wants to be fearless, then here's what you have to do. Think about Krishna, chant about Krishna, hear about Krishna. Absorb your consciousness in these three activities. So he got to the point straight away. And then Parikshit Maharaj, by the way, the confidence with which the sage answers and the conclusive, definitive explanation that he gave, the king understood that here is the person I should hear from. So he sat down as well, and then he heard Shukadev Goswami's further answers, explanations. He asked more questions. There were more answers, and the questions and answers went on for 7 days consecutively. Shukadev Goswami had to wrap up the whole thing in 7 days because the king was cursed to die in 7 days. So finally, when the seventh day was almost concluding, so Shukadev Goswami said, all right, now I have told you whatever I have to say. Is there anything more that you would like to know from me? And King Parikshit was very grateful. And I'm now going to read a bit from the 6th chapter of the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when Shukadev Goswami asked him, so my dear king, what more do you wish to know from me? Of course, time was short. And then King Parikshit folded his hands in supplication, very respectfully, and began to address the sage. And he said, I have now achieved the purpose of my life, because a great and merciful soul like you has shown such kindness to me. You have personally spoken to me this narration of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is without beginning or end. I have heard from you the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a perfect summary of all the Puranas, and which perfectly describes the Supreme Lord, Uttama Shloka. My Lord, and please hear this now, I have no fear of Takshaka, or any other living being, or even of repeated deaths, because I have absorbed myself in that purely spiritual absolute truth, which you have revealed and which destroys all fear. O Brahmana, please give me permission to resign my speech and the functions of all my senses unto Lord Adhokshara, another name of Krishna. Allow me to absorb my mind purified of lusty desires within Him and to thus give up my life. In other words, Parikshit had asked him, Shukadeva Goswami had asked Parikshit Maharaj, is there anything else you would like to hear? And Parikshit Maharaj was satisfied by now, after 7 days of hearing. And he said, I'm all right now, thank you. I'm ready. Ready to go back to Godhead. So let this snake bird or whatever magical thing is there that's supposed to bite me, let it come. I am ready to receive it. So he was completely fearless. Not fearless in an arrogant sort of way, but he was fearless because of his complete absorption in Krishna. Bhajahu re mana, Sri Nanda Nandana, Abhaya Charanaravindare. So if one's mind is absorbed in Krishna, automatically one becomes fearless. And then Shukadev Goswami gave permission to Parikshit Maharaj for giving up his life, for preparing. And then King Parikshit worshipped Shukadev Goswami. Then he also worshipped the sages present there. And Shukadev Goswami, completely detached that he was, walked away from there. Normally, you would have thought, well, I've spent 7 days to teach this person and now he's going to die. Let me at least stay and witness his death. And let me be there with him and his final moment. Shukadev Goswami just walked away. He had done his job. 7 days of instruction continuously. He got up, left. Absorbed in his own Krishna consciousness, he moved on to wherever the Lord in his heart inspired him to move. Meanwhile, Parikshit sat down on the bank of the Ganga on a seat made of the holy darbha grass with the tips of its stalks facing east and turned himself toward the north. Having attained the perfection of yoga, he experienced full self-realization and was free from all material attachment and doubt. The saintly king settled his mind within his spiritual self by pure intelligence and proceeded to meditate upon the Supreme Absolute Truth. His life air ceased to move, and he became as stationary as a tree. Meanwhile, the snake bird Takshak was approaching. And as Takshak came, he saw a sage called Kashyapa coming. Now Kashyap Muni, this particular Kashyap Muni, there are several Kashyap Munis, but this Kashyap Muni had some mystic powers and he had some particular potion or some medicine which could cure snake bite, even deadly snake bite. So he was approaching King Parikshit because he could have given that to King Parikshit so that when Takshak bit him, then he could just take that. And Takshak wanted to know the power of the sage. And then Kashyap showed him. He bit a tree that was nearby. And the sage immediately brought it back to life. Because there was so much poison that this snake had, snake bird, that the tree perished, but immediately Kashyap was able to revive that tree. And the snake bird understood that my mission will not be accomplished if this sage is around. So then he, bribed the sage. And he said, well, you know, what's the need for you to be here? And there's so many things to do. And why are you here? Yes. I'll show you some pictures too that are here. So then somehow or the other, by some flattery and some presentation of valuables, he induced the sage Kashyapa to leave the place and go away. So therefore the sage, who was expert in counteracting snake poison, had left the place, and Parikshit was now unprotected from a material point of view. Of course, spiritually he was completely protected because of being absorbed in Krishna. Actually, that is our ultimate protection. Physically, materially, one may or may not be protected. But if one is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then that is real protection. So then the snake bird disguised himself as a brahmana, and he approached the king as he sat there absorbed in meditation, and then he bit him. And as he bit him, the body of King Parikshit immediately burned to ashes by the fire of that snake bird's poison. And there arose a terrible cry of lamentation in all directions on the earth and in the heavens as well. And all the demigods, demons, human beings and other creatures looked on, astonished. Kettle drums sounded in the regions of the demigods, and the celestial Gandharvas and Apsaras sang. The demigods showered flowers and spoke words of praise. So it was a world famous, universe famous, not just world famous, universe famous departure. Because even the demigods were looking on, appreciating the glories of King Parikshit and his most extraordinary and glorious departure. Here was someone who faced death fearlessly. He was absorbed in Krishna. And the demigods understood the value of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because before the Srimad Bhagavatam had begun, secretly the demigods had approached Shukadeva Goswami. And they had told him, my dear sage, look, you know, we have the nectar of the gods that was obtained by churning the milk ocean. And we have kept it very carefully. And that gives us long life. Here is a pot of that nectar. Please take this and give us the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami drove them away. He said, you're being very offensive. Go away from here. How can you even compare the two nectars? What you have is not nectar at all. Because the demigods appreciated the real nectar is the Srimad Bhagavatam. In Sanskrit, the word nectar is called amrit. Not just because nectar is very delicious to taste, but more importantly because the word amrita means that which takes you beyond death. Amrita, not death. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is a real amrita, the real nectar, because it can help us to conquer death, just as Parikshit Maharaj did. So if we also hear the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, every day, with faith and devotion, then we will also be able to have a glorious departure from this world, just like Maharaj Parikshit did. And I'll show you the two pictures here. One is about the snake bird coming and biting King Parikshit as he sits there in meditation. And the other when his body has burst into flames. So you can check this 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, the second picture here is of the sage, or of the son of Parikshit Maharaj, King Janmejaya, who was so angry that he wanted to destroy all the snakes of the world. So he performed a huge sacrifice in which all the snakes would come in and die. And that's another story. So eventually the demigods prevailed upon him, and the sages prevailed upon him to not do that, because he even invoked Indra to come into the fire and get burnt, because Takshak was being protected by Indra. Anyway, all that was averted, and Janamejaya resolved to be quiet. And this way King Parikshit's departure is a perfect example for all of us. Parikshit Maharaj ki
jai.
Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Okay, so just in time.
Jai.